This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
This is the Besotted Pride of West London podcast. We've had a bit of a sting in the tail there. It's finished. Brentford 2, AFC Bournemouth 2. It looked like we were going to lose out at the end. It would have been really, really harsh to have not got something out of that. We get through the first phase of the season unbeaten, but it was a missed opportunity. We started off really well again, and they got back into it, and it looked like they were going to take all 3 points. Rico Henry had a bit of a nightmare moment. He recovered. He did really, really well to get back and do an interception, and it was an awful back pass to Flecken. It didn't reach him. And David Brooks, who's recovering from cancer, he's back in the Bournemouth team. Great to see him back, but not great to see him scoring against us, obviously. But just when we thought it was all over, we made so many chances in that second half. We deserve something out of it. And Brian Mbeumo turned his man on the edge of the halfway line, clean through on goal. We needed a finish, and he produced a finish. Two. Well, I'm a bit breathless. How are you, mate?
That was a great game to watch. I mean, it was really exciting, end to end. They play a lot like we do now, so that was quite exciting on the break, pressing and stuff like that. But there's loads of chances. I think we gave them too many chances, especially first half, good ones, that we shouldn't have done. But we created loads. I think we hit the woodwork 3 times. And we got plenty of other chances that just either went to the keeper or just past the post. So, yeah, I mean, we created enough to win that game. And I think if we'd lost it, which it looked like we were going to at some point, that would have been a travesty. But, a really exciting game to watch. It's really nice to keep the fortress going. But a really good game.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Deserved a little bit more overall, you've got to accept that they're decent as well. And they scored 2 goals. As you said, David Brooks' goal was a Rico mistake. That is a very, very rare occurrence. That ain't going to happen again for another 2 seasons.
You know, I'm frustrated because we created so many chances there. We fluffed a lot of them, but like some teams are doing in this division, creating lots and not scoring, at least we did get the 2 goals. I'm not satisfied with the result. I'm not dissatisfied with the style of the performance. We look weak. We look weak up top today. We look like we're missing a centre forward. You know, we look like today we are actually missing Ivan Toney. You know, we can make excuses for him not being out there a lot of the time. I think he takes one, if not two, of the chances we created.
I'm not certain about that. We hit the post three times. We hit the woodwork three times. What worries me is that our players go down far too easily. I mean, Shardy looks good. He's fast, but he goes down if he's breathed upon. Keane Lewis-Potter went down once as well. We just don't seem to be strong in the tackle. And, you know, we cannot keep falling around. I actually slightly disagree, I'm afraid, with you and Sam. I think we were lucky there. Bournemouth played very well. They're a very strong team. They're mightily improved, certainly, out over last year. And they'll be all right in this division.
Let me interject there. Lucky, you know, you just said we hit the post three times. We created like a myriad of other chances. Are you still using the word lucky?
I'm using the word that, you know, we got the break with Brian scoring that goal in the injury time that was added on, in the extra time that was added on. We need a bit of toughness about us. You know, there'll be harder battles. Bournemouth are a good team. There'll be even harder battles to come. And we need to be winning our games down here at the G-Tech. We've got to remember that. We cannot just keep drawing. But on to next one.
Frustrating afternoon. We got something out of it. I didn't think we were at one stage. Where's your head at?
Yeah, positives first. Laney, we equalised and, you know, it's a point and we're unbeaten. And there was some good stuff in there, but it's a bit of a worry for me, really. We're bringing on subs and they aren't really making us stronger. There's a bit of squad depth issue in there, which we know, but we need some people to start stepping up to the plate a bit, I think. You know, the Sharders and Lewis Potters and, take a leaf out of the young lad, you know, Olegiki, who came on, who, you know, got the ball, ran with it, you know, tried to make himself a difference. You know, bless Rico getting a great reception, because it's his first mistake for about 5 years. I thought Bournemouth were bang average, really. I think that's points dropped. But, you know, no easy games and all those things.
We're hearing in the background Rico's getting a tremendous reception from the West End. Well, he's got a tremendous reception all the way around the ground. It's the most loudest here. You know, he so rarely makes mistakes. You know, it was a mistake. You know, it was a brilliant recovery, then an awful back pass.
Yeah, the irony was, it was, as you say, an absolutely superb recovery, and we're all singing his name as he fluffed the back pass, and he was devastated, you could see that. But, you know, they got him out of jail with a point, which is where we were before the goal at 1-1, of course. But there's something me didn't quite look ready for it. It was an odd one bringing him ahead of Collins, as good as he is, you know, man in possession of the shirt and all those things. There's loads of good, mate. There's loads of good, and we haven't lost, and we came back and we showed the character and all those positives. But at some point, you know, we need to win at home.
Yeah, we do. I mean, carry on from that, really. At some point, we do have to win at home. You know, I'm not gonna go all on the positives here. You know, we've got to the first international break unbeaten, which is really good on one hand, but we could have lost one of those. We could have lost and then won two of the draws and then be better off points wise. It's a conundrum. What is better? Is it better to lose or is it better to be unbeaten? We know that, you know, the way the points pan out. It was a really frustrating afternoon. We got something out of it.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I thought we were by far the better team, but it's the same as it's been the previous two home games. We've got ourselves in front, we're in control of the game, and then we just relinquish control of the game and let them back into it. I don't actually think Bournemouth offered that much. We could have been out of sight quite easily in that game. You know, Shardo hitting the post, Brian with that miss, Pinnock with the free header. I think what Neil is going to bring that we don't have at the moment is he's going to hold the ball up. I think today we really, really missed what Toney brings up front, holding the ball up and the work rate across the front. And I think Neil will come in and he'll bring the ball up front. So if we're not going to play those little balls in behind the back like we did at Spurs away or whatever, we're going to keep playing this way. We need a player who's going to hold the ball up. And Wissa, for all his attributes and all the things he does well, it's not that player. I think Neil can make a big difference there. It's frustrating. I'm sure it will come, but we've got to stop relinquishing control of games for periods of time, like we did in both the first and the second half today.
I mean, I feel, you know, I almost feel like I'm a bit of a pariah for saying this, but, you know, Ivan Toney is you know, he's arguably our best player, and he's not able to be selected today. You know, we're coping, we're trying to cope, we're trying to adapt, we're trying to thrive without him, and, and it's, I'd say it's not an impossible task, but I have to say, Ivan Toney, you owe us here. You know, you if you were out there today, I think it's different. I think that's a win today. I'm not saying that Ivan's, you know, it's like, it's almost like you mention him and like it's almost like, oh yeah, you can't keep using him as an excuse. But why the fuck can't we?
Well, I think if he was out there today, two reasons. Like I said, he would have held the ball up, and also the leadership that he brings on the pitch. Well, whatever he's done off it, there's undoubtedly he brings leadership on the pitch. And I think we're really lacking that at the moment. We're really lacking that somebody that's going to push the team on and push them forward. I think that's why we're getting ourselves 1-0 up. There's nobody really. We haven't got Pontus anymore. We haven't got Toney at the moment, and it's just lacking that person who's going to really drive the rest of them on. And I think that's why we're relinquishing control of games, which is why we're ending up with draws and not wins. But you know, it's very close. I think maybe after the international break, it will all click, and hopefully a couple of wins at home would be nice.
So we're walking away from the stadium. Everyone's a little bit more upbeat than I thought we were going to be with 5 or 10 minutes ago after they scored the second goal. How did you see that second half? How did you place the result?
Happy with a point now, but I do think that Bournemouth must have watched Crystal Palace, and my mates don't really want to give Bournemouth any credit, but I think they worked very hard, very very hard, and I think. This might sound wrong, but we're a little bit predictable now, and we're talking about missing Ivan, and because he gives us breathing space by holding the ball up. So there's a few little problems for Thomas to solve, you know.
We got Neil Maupay arrived late last night in the transfer deadline, you know, window.
Love him. Absolutely love him. Not saying it's going to work or nothing like that. Keep a totally open mind. But I love the guy. The guy's got his passion and determination,
We talk about, you know, missing someone to hold the ball up a little bit. You know, Maupay can do that. He will do that, hopefully. You know, you're the one that mentioned Ivan Toney in that respect. I've mentioned him back in the stadium. You know, I think that we kind of ignore the fact he's not there. I mean, we actually, you know, it's almost easy to forget what a big miss he is. And it's almost like we're expecting the same team to do what we did with him, but without him. And it's really hard at times.
It's a big, you can't replace players like that just straight away. And we knew we were going to miss him. We just got to get on with it. And, you know, it's... This is third season in the Premier League. The Premier League is full on for 90 minutes. So evident, the difference between the Premiership and the Championship. But it's just a little problem for us to solve now. And we'll work around it, you know.
So, you know, unbeaten at the first interval of the season. We know that the seat there of the season is punctuated by these international breaks. You know, we probably would. Well, I think we deserve a few more points on the board than what we've got. But are you happy with it being unbeaten, or would you prefer a couple of defeats but some more wins?
No. As it stands, I'll take the draws. Obviously, rather win, but they're not losses. They're not losses neither. But we do need to start picking up wins, and we've got some hard games. But they're all hard games. There's no easy games. I was going to say, we'll win at Forest, but now I'm a little bit, you know, and obviously Newcastle's going to be very, very, very tough. But if we can keep them quiet, this is the whole idea. Keep that loud Geordie rabble quiet, and Nottingham Forest, well, less said the better, really.
So, we've got a few Bournemouth fans with us. They've come away probably thinking that they were going to hold out for a win, and they're going to have to settle for the same point that we're going to have to settle from. I don't think any of us are particularly happy with the result, considering what we could have had, should have had. How did you see the game?
I didn't expect to come here and take 3 points. you know, so winning 2-1 into the 90 minutes, yeah, tough one, but we would have taken the point before the game, definitely. So yeah, a bit heartbreaking, but you know, we would all taken a point. So
I kind of regretted tweeting that, welcome back David Brooks, it's great to see you, etc. I know, I stand by that, obviously, all football fans, it's a brilliant recovery story and we all wish him well. And then he went and scored, and we're like, oh God. But you must have been delighted with that.
Yeah, he's had a good pre-season, he scored a couple in pre-season, one in the cup the other night and one today, so hopefully he's on his way up. So, you know, just unfortunately we couldn't hold off for the 3 points, but that's football, isn't it?
You have been to Brentford, this new stadium, before or not? First visit. First visit. What did you make of the ground, your day out, and obviously the game itself?
Good game. I think pretty lucky to get a point after Brentford hitting the post a few times. But, you know, last year came here, lost 1-0 or 2-0. I can't remember. But it's good to get a point here today.
Did you actually start to believe at one stage that you were going to get this win?
I did for a sec, but Brentford always score a late goal every so often. So,
and how have you made? You know, it's like a, you know, baptism of fire again, like in this division, to get points on the board. We all know each one is important, yeah. But you still, you know, you going back frustrated, or you going back kind of okay about today?
Pretty positive, I think. Points bigger. Big point for us, especially with the tough fixtures we got at the start of the season. So, yeah.
So we're back here at the Globe. Time for a couple of post-match beers and just to unwind. Got a Bournemouth fan outside the pub. Good to see you back in the boozer. Where's your head out after that? A bit of a topsy-turvy second half there.
Yeah, first half was a bit. I thought we went off quite fair at half time, but in the second half, I think we did. I think we've done enough to win the game, but I'm not disappointed with the draw. Our press this season is so much better. We're a team that actually now have got to be battled with, rather than us trying to defend for 90 minutes. Teams are defending us now.
So. I mean, I looked at the stats on the walk back from the ground, you know, and the stats kind of back up how I felt in the stadium. It looked like we had the most possession, it looked like we created the most chances, it looked like we created the most clean-cut chances, it looked like we missed the most chances. I think we hit the woodwork at least twice, maybe three times, and there was a couple of really good saves. We feel, obviously, that we should have won that. I still think we should have won that, but very relieved to have got anything out of that, because, you know, Rico Henry, he doesn't make many mistakes, and he did brilliantly to get back and make the interception. Then his back pass allowed you to get the second goal. Did you actually think you were going to hold out for that win?
We hoped. I wasn't going to say, yeah, we ain't going to lose this or we ain't going to draw this, but as far as I'm concerned, it was a tense last 6 minutes, and there's actually an opportunity for you to win the game in the last 6 minutes as well. But Mbeumo wasn't, in my eyes, didn't have a brilliant day. Our keeper, that save in the towards the end of the second half, how he got to it, never know. But that's the thing with Neto, he's a first-class keeper. But, you know, we've been made really welcome by Brentford fans today. It's been really nice, it's been pleasant, it's been friendly, and I'll be back here next season.
This is what we're all about, yeah. Win or lose, we're on the booze, and so we like to keep football out of football for as much as we can. But in between 3 and 5 on a Saturday, when we're at home, obviously it takes over a bit. You know, so being in the away section, being with your mob, what was the atmosphere like? Was it deflated at the end, or was it kind of like a bit more philosophical?
No, it was very positive at the end. We came here hoping we'd get a draw. That was our hopes. We came here, like last year, we came here with, and we were going to get beaten by. So it's a change for us. The new manager's brilliant. Very pressing, but very open at the back. That's the problem with the pressing game. But the end of the game, I think it was quite a positive end. The players appreciated. If you notice at the end of the game, the Bournemouth players went down. They were gutted they'd drawn that game. And to see that from our players is something new. We don't usually see that. So it's good, really, really good.
So we've heard from a few Bournemouth fans there, which is a bit of a novelty. It's very, very unusual. You see them walking back the way we walk back to the Globe. But yeah, fair play. It's a few come back to the Boozel. Always good to see away fans in here. Always welcome. We are chewing the fat over a couple of cold beers. We feel like I've been through the mangle a bit in the second half there. I've gone from thinking that we're going to go on and win it to, oh my God, we're going to lose it, to this is really frustrating, to massively relieved. Brian and Boomer come up with a bit of real quality there, and he provided a clinical finish just when we needed it. 2-2 finish, as you know. Where was your nerves at the end of that?
Well, I mean, before Brian scored, the main emotion was just frustration, really, that we'd let it go back to 2-1, having been a goal ahead, the width of a post away from being two goals ahead twice. Brian missing an absolute sitter in almost the first play of the second half. It's frustrating. But, you know, I guess when I reflect on it later, I'll probably think, you know, a point's a point, you know. It just didn't go the way we wanted it to. But there wasn't major flaws in our game today. We just didn't score when we needed to score. And, you know, Bournemouth are probably going to be all right this season. They look pretty good. Much better than the team that we played last season. And both teams cancelled each other out a little bit, really. You know, the whole counter-press, waiting for the mistake. And
it was a good end-to-end game for a lot of that. Going a slightly more broader, we've got to the first break in the season, the international break. We've had three games at home, which is unusual, and we've had one away game at Fulham. So the Fulham game's a victory. We've drawn the rest. Are we below where we should be with our haul? Because it's been, I mean, I'm not going to say, I use the word easy because I can't think of a better one, but it's been a fairly easy start to the season for us. Are we going to look back and regret not getting a couple more points there?
In the medium term, probably yes, because, you know, we look back at the Spurs game, we had a chance to win that game, didn't, obviously won away at Fulham last week, could have held on. Yeah, so yeah, I mean, in an ideal world, we'd have maybe 7 or 8 points now, and we've got what, 5, 6? And it does, when you then go into a run of games against the top 5 or 6, it does feel a little bit like it's a missed opportunity. But you know, we won away at some of these clubs last season. You know, we won away at City, away at Chelsea, got a point at Arsenal. So I don't know, you know, it's probably a little bit too early to be ruining the points that we've dropped, but yeah, it's hard at the time. It's hard to say. It feels a little bit tough.
And one of the criticisms I heard in the second half from someone next to me was, we made 5 substitutes, but not really any of them have made any impact. Is that a concern? The strength, you know, the window's gone now.
Yeah, I was standing there when it was 2-1, and we were kind of passing the ball around with not really a lot of big outlet. The big void that you start thinking of is we're an Ivan Tony short of a decent attack, but then,
which is fair. I mean, I just said on here a minute ago that, you know, it seems to be like too easy to forget that we're missing him.
Yeah, and we obviously are. You know, it's a little bit of a kind of straw that you grasp at when you're losing a match. When really we could have won today, should have won today, should have won against Tottenham, and maybe should have won against Palace. So is it really a problem? I think it's one of those things that you kind of look at when, especially when Sharda went off and Lewis Potter came on, and the front three was Lewis Potter and Bermo and Wissa. You're looking at, like, you know, none of them, you know, all 5'9", 5'10", you think, well, I know that's not the way we play, and we've adapted without Ivan, but you start to look at a bit of a lack of presence up front. But, you know, we can cope without it. We've shown we can score goals without him. So it is a little bit of one of those things where you, where he's not there, and when we're not playing well, it's an easy straw to grasp at. It's because of Ivan.
Last question. You know, we can't. There's nothing we can do about what we haven't got and what's not available. Can't change that. What we have got and what is available soon will be Neil Maupay. What does Neil Maupay add to that, what you saw today?
Another sub 6 foot striker. But I mean, hopefully, someone's pointed out to me earlier that we've got an international break now, and then the next home game we play is Everton, and he can't play in that because that's his parent club. So it's going to be maybe 4 or 5 weeks until we see him play down at G-Tech. And yeah, look, we know what he can do. It's one of those where he's had a bit of a bad press because of the clubs he's gone to. Well, specifically Everton, which is a bin fire. You know, hopefully he can recapture his, you know, what we know he can do. And it would be lovely at some point if he scores against Everton, because they've misused him, and they've, you know, they're just, it's a shambles over there. And we know what he can do. And yeah, hopefully, even off the bench as an impact player, maybe. But yeah, if we're gonna play without a big number nine like Ivan, and he fits in perfectly with the whole, you know, with it being more focused on movement and runs and positioning, because he's really good at that.
You listening to the B-Sided Pride of West London podcast. As you know, it finished Brentford 2, AFC Bournemouth 2. You listen to home and away fans there, and I think both are quite happy with the point, considering where they were or what it could have been. I'm frustrated, as I was last week against Crystal Palace. I think we could have, should have got more out of that. But I would have bitten your hand off for a point with 2 or 3 minutes to go when I thought we were going to get nothing. That would have been a really deflating way to finish our Saturday off. As it is, we lick our wounds slightly, but we haven't tasted defeat yet. And we go away for a 2-week break, and we come back, and we've got some more tough results. As we just heard, last year we did okay in a lot of those tough fixtures. We are hopefully, and we can do the same. We're going to have to dig deep. We've got 2 weeks to integrate Neil Maupay into this team. He stands every chance of being a success. We have to work hard and hope he can come back like the prodigal son and do the business in red and white stripes once again. We'll probably be having a midweek podcast regardless of the break. I'll make my mind up during the week. If you like what we do and fancy buying us a beer, head over to besotted.com/beer. Go over to Apple or any of your podcast providers and subscribe to Besotted. Get it downloaded to your podcast app straight away. Don't miss out on anything. It's been a very, very busy couple of weeks for us. And we will have a rest. We're going to have a nice beer. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And come on, UBs. Come on, UBs.
Yes.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.